I have an acrostic for hope. I have an acrostic for a lot of words. Mine is heaven's one promise, eternity. And so today, Jack said we're on this train to Hope Station. What is hope? And I think of, when I think of these passages, I meet with a lot of pastors. In fact, Pastor John and I talked Sunday night, and we said, well, Advent's coming. And he's preached for 43 years in a pulpit and 4 years as a youth pastor. But when it comes to season of Advent, so many pastors, they really struggle with this season, and they go, what can I say? Because, well, we read these passages, and it's the same thing every year. And a lot of pastors, I'll be honest with you, a lot of pastors that I meet with, they go, I don't like this season because I don't know what to say. And yet, I wonder what the early church was like. You know, the early church didn't have videos. The early church didn't have really worship centers. The early church didn't have organs or brass or maybe even a praise team that played guitars. The early church didn't have all the illustrations that we have. You know what they did? They gathered in houses, and they rolled out a scroll, and they read the story. Think of the early church, Sabbath after Sabbath after Sabbath, they would gather in a home, and someone would read the scroll. My guess is they then sat around and talked about it and said, oh, what was it like? So this morning we're going to roll out the scroll. My scroll's a little different. But each Sabbath they waited. They waited patiently to hear the word. They waited to hear something from God. And I think it's profound, Mike, that you played your song today, because, you know, I am not ashamed, for I want to hear your voice speak to me. They waited for God to speak. There's an Old Testament passage, in fact, it's almost the last two verses in the Old Testament in the book of Malachi. It's not going to be up there yet, so I don't have that slide. But it's the last words of God for 400 years. The prophet Malachi said, see, I will send the prophet Elijah to you before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes, and he will turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the hearts of the children to their parents, or else I'll come and strike the land with total destruction. And the book was closed. God's voice wasn't heard for 400 years. But Sabbath after Sabbath, they would roll out the scrolls. They would roll out the law. They would roll out the prophets. They would roll out the wisdom literature, the Psalms and the Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, and they would ask God to speak to them. But they waited. I heard an acrostic for wait. Why am I talking? And I think a lot of times they just sat in silence and waited. Our New Testament reading comes from the Gospel of Luke. And see, Luke writes this after spending time with Paul and some of the other disciples. He wasn't an original eyewitness of this, but Peter and James and John talked to Jesus, and he writes this down. Let's read what Luke has to say. Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the Lord. With this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, Luke's a doctor. He's detail-oriented. And he says, I have carefully investigated everything from the beginning. I, too, decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus. Now, Theophilus could be a man. Some scholars think that Luke is saying Theophilus means, in Greek, lover of people. It could be the people that love God. The people that love God, so that you may know the certainty of the things that you have been taught. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the laws, commands, and decrees blamelessly, but they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. Now you see the adjective he puts in there, and they're not just old, they're very old to describe how old they are. Many scholars believe that they were in their 80s. They were very old. Once, when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Enter into the story. They're rolling out the scroll of Luke, and they're reading it. There's no PowerPoints, there's no worship team, there's no music. They just roll out the scroll and they read this. He's chosen by lot, by the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time of the burning incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. So once a year, a priest was selected by lot. You know, they cast lots. A priest was selected by lot. They'd tie a rope around his ankle in case he died in the Holy of Holies. And he would go in and he would throw incense on the altar and it would go up through the chimney while all the other worshipers were outside of the Holy of Holies, outside in the courtyard, watching for the prayers of the people to go up. So Zechariah is chosen by lot. Now there's 18,000 priests, and he's been doing this year after year after year, and he's never been selected. Maybe you feel that way. And then one time he's selected, they tie the rope around him and he goes into the temple, and all the other worshipers are outside. Then, verse 11, then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled, and he was gripped with fear. 400 years is being broken. 400 years of silence is being broken. And Zechariah was chosen by lot to go into the temple. Most likely he's in his 80s. Can you imagine waiting 80 years to hear the voice of God? There's an angel standing by the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid." That's the normal response when an angel appears. "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard." Hmm. 80 years of prayers. Which one? Your prayer has been heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you will call him John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or fermented drink. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord, their God. He will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah. Go back to Malachi chapter 4, verse 13. The last word that God says, there will be one like Elijah that will come. And 400 years of silence. And then the angel says, he'll be like the power and the spirit of Elijah to turn the hearts of parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Zechariah asked the Lord, asked the angel, how can I be sure of this? I'm an old man, and my wife is well along in years. He's being generous and nice there. The angel said to him, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. Wow. Can you imagine being in the house church, and they're rolling out the scroll of Luke, and they're reading this, and they hear the words of Gabriel. I am Gabriel, and I stand in the presence of God. Now, just me saying that gives me goosebumps. What would it be like to hear that voice? And now, he says, you're going to be silent and not able to speak until this day happens because, well, you did not believe. You did not believe my words, which will come true at this appointed time. Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized that he had seen a vision in the temple. So all these people outside, they're waiting 400 years too for God to speak. And they realize when he comes out, God has spoken. God whispered something to them. They know because he can't even open his mouth. He kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was complete, he returned home. And after this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. The Lord has done this for me, she said. In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people. Wow, we're out of time. 400 years. Waiting. I think our culture, we have a hard time waiting. We can't wait at red lights. We see it start to turn red and we run through it. We can't wait for a text to finish before we start replying. We can't wait for that little thing to spin on your phone or your computer and you're going, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. I know none of you do that, right? That work all day on your computers. Waiting. Why am I talking? A lot of them waited in silence. I think of Zechariah, who had to wait 9 months, not speaking. 400 years. We can't, to be honest with you, we can't wait 400 seconds. That's 6.6 minutes. Okay? We can't wait 6.6 minutes. And yet, they waited to hear. They waited. Answer my prayer. They waited. Now, many of you know that I love the Psalms, and I think the Psalms are, Psalms speak to your heart. And one of my favorite Psalms is Psalm 46. And it begins with these words, God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in times of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though the waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. And there's a little Selah, S-E-L-A-H, in the Hebrew Bible. It means to pause and calmly think about that. God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in times of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the mountains shake and fall into the heart of the sea, and the rivers quake, we won't fear. There was a time in Mark 4, we just studied it on Wednesday night, where Jesus gets in the boat with the disciples and they start crossing the lake of the Sea of Galilee, and there's a great storm, and Jesus is sleeping in the back of the boat in Mark 4. He's sleeping in the back of the boat, and the waves are crashing in on the boat, and the boat is about to sink, and the disciples are terrified, and they go and wake up Jesus and say, "Don't you care?" We're about to die. I think they forgot Psalm 46. God's our refuge and our strength and ever-present help in times of trouble. Do you know what? Here's another point of that little quick story, is Jesus is in the back of the boat, in the stern, sleeping. I think a lot of times that's where we put Jesus, in the back of the boat. And then the storms come. And we go, "Jesus, don't you care?" And the story in Mark 4, he gets up, I might have the passage up there, he gets up and he says, "Be quiet." Be quiet. Quiet, be still. Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. Quiet. Why am I talking? It's so hard to wait. It's hard to wait for God in the midst of a storm. It's hard to wait for God when the waves are crashing. It's hard to wait when the mountains are falling into the heart of the sea. But I think of the early church, all they had was scrolls. And they waited. And read them, and read them, and read them. Psalm 46, many of you know the ending of Psalm 46, verse 10, says, "Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted in the earth, and I'm exalted among the nations." Psalm 46 says, "Be still and know that I am God." Jesus wakes up. They wake him up because they've kept him in the back of the boat. But he's in the back of the boat. And he gets up and he says, "Quiet. Be still." And the winds and the waves follow him. So an early so what? Why is it so hard for us to be still? Why is it so hard for us to wait on the Lord? Why is it so hard for us to hope for things we cannot see? Advent, hope for the coming of the Christ. They were waiting for the Messiah. They were waiting 400 years. We have a hard time waiting 400 seconds. Zechariah had probably prayed for 50 years for his wife to have a child. Can you imagine praying a prayer for 50 years? He prayed and prayed and prayed. But he's old, and the time for him to bear a child, or the time for Elizabeth to bear a child, has long passed. I think Zechariah probably is going through the motions, setting up the communion elements, cutting the bread, getting the incenses, going through the motions. And I think a lot of times that's what we do, because we haven't heard from God. We just go through the motions. We go through the process. Zechariah means, I think I have it up there, the name Zechariah in Hebrew means the Lord remembers. Powerful name. Great name to name your child. Except for he's not going to get to name his child Zechariah. He's going to name him John. I wonder how many times Zechariah thought the Lord has forgotten in 50 years. And yet his name means the Lord remembers. So how many times do you and I want to give up, give in, and not believe? I think that's the message of Advent. I think that's the message when we light a candle of hope. How many times in 400 years did those people that rolled out the scrolls go, "That's just not true. I just can't believe. I'm walking away." How many times have we been faced with troubles, trials, and waves crashing, and we go, "I'm going to give up. I'm going to give in. I'm going to throw in the towel." And we go, "God, don't you care?" Elizabeth means, "My God is always faithful." So God picks an old man, Zechariah, and an old woman, Elizabeth, to bring in his voice. I think Elizabeth believed. I think she was always believing, and that was her faith. I don't know what each of you face each week. I know some of your stories. I don't know your trials. I don't know your struggles. I don't know your fears. I don't know your doubts. I don't know the sin that clings so closely. But I do know the God who remembers. I remember, I know the God who is always faithful. And I know he's going to speak to you. My prayer is he's going to speak to you this Advent. Maybe it's in the middle of the night, he's going to wake you up and he's going to go, "Ruthie." Or he's going to say, "Don." And you're going to hear his voice, "Patty, Jeff." God is still speaking today. Gordon Hempton completed a survey, and he did a 30-year survey. It's called The List of the Last Great Quiet Places. He took 30 years to do this survey. And it's called The List of the Last Great Quiet Places. It consists of places with at least 15 minutes of interrupted quiet during daylight hours. And at last count, there's only 12 places in the United States. In the whole entire United States, 12 places that have 15 minutes of interrupted noise. Hempton calls it, "Quiet is a think tank for the soul." I love that thought. Quiet is the think tank for the soul. We have a hard time getting quiet. We have our iPads and our iPhones and our TV. We have our radio. We have everything going on. Only 12 places in the United States that have 15 minutes of uninterrupted silence. Zechariah's in the most quiet place on earth. He's in the Holy of Holies. And God speaks to him. An angel shows up on the right side of the altar of incense and said, God has heard your prayer. Maybe we need to get quiet. Maybe we need to draw away from all the things that are going on. Maybe we need to shut down our electronics and turn off the noise. I don't know if you've gone to see the new movie out on Mr. Rogers. It's A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. It's a great movie. I'd highly recommend it. When I was in Pittsburgh, we went down to see a statue. He's from Pittsburgh and had the longest running TV show ever, Mr. Rogers, It's a Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. And there's a scene, I won't tell you the whole story, but there's a scene in the movie where he's talking to a reporter and they sit down to eat and Mr. Rogers says, let's just take 1 minute of silence and be thankful. He says, just whatever comes to your mind, be thankful. Now, so Mr. Rogers and this man are sitting in a restaurant in a booth, and Mr. Rogers just sits there for 1 minute. Now, this reporter is nervous, anxious. You can see that he's just not having a really good time with 1 minute. And I think we're a lot like that guy. 1 minute of silence. 1 minute of waiting. 1 minute of no noise. Zechariah asked a question because he didn't believe when God spoke to him. The angel says, I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. Well, you know, Gabriel says, I've heard your prayer. God has heard your prayer. And then he goes, how can I know? How can I be sure? Are you really telling me the truth? I think we're a lot like that. God speaks to us and we go, well, I don't think so. I'm not sure if that's you, God. You really want me to do what? You really want me to go and talk to so-and-so? How can I be sure? And because he's not sure, he's silent. So here's your homework up here. For today's scripture, the truth of the matter is when we think God is silent or asleep, we need to be still and know that God remembers and that God is faithful. And can you go back to the be still one? Be still. Go back one more. I think it's in there. Go forward. Next one. There. So here's your homework. This is Psalm 46, verse 10. Be. Stop. What's it mean to be? Where is God asking me to be? What should I be? This is called praying scripture. And it's just really part of a verse. So I'm teaching you something here. It's listening to God. And my challenge to you is this Advent is God wants to speak to you. So be. And stop and pray. Still. Be still. Be still and know that I am God. Zechariah had an angel speak to him and he wasn't sure. How do we know that God is speaking to us? There's an article in Time magazine that was written in 1983, and it's What Do Babies Know? Michael Lewis, a psychologist, presides over the data gathered from the Institute of the Study of Child Development at Rutgers Medical School. And I want to just read, babies are born legally blind. Although unable to see, a newborn nevertheless holds up a hand as if examining it within 7 minutes after birth. Their ears function well within a few weeks. They recognize the sound of their mother's voice, and incidentally, babies prefer the tone of the female voice over the male voice, according to the study. At 12 hours old, an infant which has never tasted anything, not even his or her mother's milk, gurgles with satisfaction on receiving a drop of sugar water at 12 hours old. At 23 days of age, the baby can imitate adults. At 23 days, a baby will start imitating their mother or father. Beyond risk and cost of rearing children today, having a baby is an act of faith and of hope. It represents a belief in better things to come. When a wrong needs righting, a truth needs telling, a song needs singing, a soul needs saving, God sends a baby into the world. Jesus, a baby. Zachariah and Elizabeth had been waiting 80 years. God remembered and God was faithful. And I know that God remembers and God knows you and he's faithful. I'm going to challenge you this week. Mr. Rogers, I'm taking this from Mr. Rogers' movie. Take 60 seconds. Take 60 seconds. It'd be nice. I wrote it in one of my emails. Take 60 seconds every hour, every waking hour. That'd be 12 minutes if you're awake 12 hours. But take 60 seconds. I'm just asking you to take 60 seconds of your day and be silent. And let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Now, I put it in my notes. I if you can't do, 60 seconds, maybe take a few minutes in the morning before you start. Maybe take a few minutes before you put your head down on the pillow. I know that God speaks. And I know that he wants to speak to you. God is not silent. Maybe he wants us to be silent. Let us pray. Lord God, we come to this table and we wait. We wait in hope. We wait in this confident expectation. We wait like the early disciples waited. We wait like Zachariah and Elizabeth waited 50 years to hear the good news. Lord, I pray that you would speak to each and every one of us. Fill us with your hope. Fill us with your love. Fill us with your joy. Fill us with your peace. And we pray the prayer you taught your disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.